This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Time for another plan.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. This morning, we begin our special coverage of the global financial crisis with a look at yet another call for change. The president of the European Union Commission said today unprecedented levels of global coordination are needed to deal with the meltdown. A two-day meeting with leaders from 43 countries starts tomorrow in Beijing. Economic turmoil will dominate the talks as markets around the world are once again in the red. European markets are down between 2% and nearly 4%. In Asia, Hong Kong's main index closed more than 3.5% lower. Japan's Nikkei hit lows around 7% before closing down about 2.5%. China was down more than 1%. Let's turn now to Marketplace's Scott Tong, standing by in Shanghai. Scott, how do you explain the continued drops in the markets?
Global recession. That's the fear that the markets are worrying about. A couple weeks ago, we thought about the industrialized countries, and we knew they were going in the wrong direction. But we thought maybe we still have these emerging markets that the world can kind of rely on. It doesn't seem like we have those anymore. South Korea, on this side of the world, which used to be the poster child of economic reform and growth, it's seeing its currency tanking. We know Pakistan has gone to the IMF for help, and Hungary is going through this currency crisis. So it doesn't seem like there's anywhere to hide in the world anymore. And the markets are reacting to that fear, even though some of the fundamentals of these economies don't necessarily look that bad.
Well, that's the thing, Scott. The emerging markets especially were not as exposed to the toxic assets.
Right.
Why are things moving so quickly then?
What has moved really quickly is the world of currency. It's turned upside down in a hurry. Before this crisis, the dollar and the yen were weak against most of the currencies in the world. Well, that has just flipped because investors have pulled out of these emerging economies. So that's hurt those countries. And it's hurt all the investors who bet on some of those countries. And so they're flocking to the safety of the dollar and the yen.
All right. Marketplace's Scott Tong in Shanghai. Thanks so much, Scott.
You're welcome.
We should note most of the Asian markets paired losses after a report the Bush administration is considering a $40 billion plan to help stop foreclosures. The latest foreclosure report shows filings were up nearly 71% in the third quarter compared to this time last year. The Organization for Petroleum Exporting Countries meets tomorrow to talk production cuts. The price of crude has slid way down, just below $68 a barrel this morning. Russia just met with OPEC. As Megan Williams reports, the world's second largest oil producer is also looking for ways to cope with volatile prices.
Russian leaders met with the head of OPEC to talk more cooperation in leveling out roller coaster prices. Cost of oil is now so low it could make production and investment unprofitable. Oil expert Peter Kemp says it's unlikely Russia, whose production is already falling, would agree to cut.
The Russians, like all major oil producers, are truly concerned by the sudden and dramatic fall in oil prices. But I would be very surprised if we see that actually materializing in substantial cuts in production from Russia.
One idea Russia floated to influence prices was to stockpile oil instead of placing it on the open market. Kemp says countries build up reserves as backup for supply interruption, but
the idea of setting up a reserve that would somehow be used to influence the market sounds like a pretty wild idea, which I don't think would find any support from OPEC or anybody else.
Tomorrow, OPEC meets to agree on production cut levels. I'm Megan Williams for Marketplace.
Mm-hmm. Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Bantam Books, publisher of The Snowball, Warren Buffett and the Business of Life, The Biography of a Man and His Ideas by Alice Schroeder, and by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com. Conversations from the Corner Office, Dialogues with Top CEOs, is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management. Online at shrm.org.
Barack Obama will air a half-hour primetime special next week on three major television networks. John McCain will not. Marketplace's Steve Henn takes a look at McCain's options with a campaign strapped for cash.
John McCain's cut back on TV spending in New Hampshire, Wisconsin, Colorado, Maine, and Minnesota. He's pulled the plug on Michigan.
You know, he's in essence in a shouting match with a man with a megaphone, so he can't win that contest.
Evan Tracy runs the Campaign Media Analysis Group and tracks ad buys for candidates. He says to counter, McCain needs the equivalent of a political brush fire.
He has to look for ways to amplify his message beyond advertising spending because it won't be competitive in these final 2 weeks with Obama probably outspending him at least 2-1 overall and probably 4-5 and 6-1 in some of these battleground media markets.
Obama's campaign has used his TV buying power to create new swing states out of those that were once safely red. Shanto Iyengar teaches political advertising at Stanford. He says that makes McCain's mission even harder.
They're going to have to invest scarce advertising dollars in states that in the past were typically taken for granted.
If McCain's forced to spend money in North Carolina or Indiana, he has to cut back in Florida or Ohio. While Senator Obama's running a 50-state campaign with national airtime, McCain is micro-targeting.
Calling for John McCain and the RNC.
Using robocalls.
You need to know that Barack Obama has worked closely with domestic terrorist Bill Ayers.
Tracy says these cheap robocalls can deliver extremely negative messages to receptive audiences without risking a backlash that a similar ad on TV might stir up.
At the end of the day, it'll be a negative message that cuts through for Senator McCain.
And if he's going to win,
he needs to be more negative. I mean, I know people probably cringe when they hear that.
But Tracy says McCain's best weeks in the campaign were months ago, when McCain spent his time attacking his opponent and the press.
He's the biggest celebrity in the world.
For creating a cult of personality out of a political campaign. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Wall Street is waiting on the weekly unemployment reading. The Dow fell 514 points yesterday, 5.2%. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.